his arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. It's really a pleasure to be back here on another Saturday evening to continue in our new series, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. Last week we stopped at chapter 1. Verse 12, we stop at verse 12 of chapter 1 last week. This week we are going to continue from there. And we pray that you are ready to go through this chapter with us. And we praise God for all our listeners this evening. And I hope you have your Bible ready. And we will just continue to glean from God's words to us. But before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. Thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you that you are our good, good Father. And you are always concerned about, oh God, all that, oh God, pertains to us. And we just thank you this afternoon for this privilege, oh God, to bring forth your word. And we pray in the name of Jesus, oh God, that you'll continue to guide us all into all truth. Open our eyes, open our spiritual eyes, open our insight. Illuminate, oh God, our minds so that we can understand your word, oh God, and our minds will be renewed by your word. Oh God, without understanding, we cannot live your word. So we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll grant us understanding of your word, that we will go forth in power, oh God, and we will live your word. We will not just be hearers of your word, oh God, but we will practice your word. We will walk in righteousness. We will walk in holiness. We will walk in love, oh God, demonstrating, oh mighty God, your image to those that we come in contact with. Father, we just thank you again for all that you have done, all that you are doing. Thank you that your word is doing the work in the hearts of your people. Thank you, oh God, that souls will come to know you through these words. Oh God, many will run to you and cry, "Here I am, Jesus, save me." Father, we look to you, O God, and we just thank you, O God Almighty, for the good reports that will come, that your word, O God Almighty, has set captives free. Father, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you and we give you glory as we pray and give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless the Lord. Continue in Romans 1. Romans 1, verse 12, that's where we left off last week. We'll continue from there. Verse 12 said, "That is that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me." So Paul was desiring to go to Rome to see the brethren there, and that he will also impart to them of his gift, and they will be comforted together. They will all be able to encourage and to comfort one another because of their mutual faith in Jesus Christ. So we see, people of God, as children of God, together we are supposed to be united as one and be there to help each other up as we continue on this Christian journey. We are to walk knowing that we have to have the interests of our brothers and sisters also in our minds. So we can't be selfish Christians, but we have to see how we can also help to build up or to edify one another as we go along on this journey. Verse 13 of Romans chapter 1. "No, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that of the time I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles." So Paul was saying to the brethren in Rome that he would not have them uninformed, that many times he tried to come to them, but was hindered from coming among them. So he could not bring forth spiritual children among them, just like he did among other Gentile nations. So Paul was saying, I made several attempts to come, but I'm always hindered when it comes to getting a passage to Rome. So he's saying that he would want to come so that he could also bring forth spiritual children among them also, just like he did among the other Gentile nations. So Paul had a desire to go to Rome, and we know that Paul was taken to Rome at the latter part of his life, but he was taken in chains. He was taken as a prisoner, and he also died in Rome as a martyr. So we see Paul desired to go to Rome, but at the time when he desired to go, when he was free, he could not get the chance to go. He said he was hindered from going, and he wanted to go directly to Rome so that he also could bring forth spiritual children among them. He also could have converts among them. He could preach the good news, and converts would come to Christ through his preaching, just as he did among the other Gentile nation. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 1. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So Paul was saying that he was indebted, or he owed the gospel to all people. He owed the gospel to all people. He was not just there for a selected group of people. But he was saying, I'm indebted, I owe the gospel to all people, to the cultivated or the cultured Greek population, to the cultured Greek population, and also to the wild or the uncultured savages, which are called the barbarians, to the wise. He speaks of to the wise, to the learned, and also to the unwise, the unlearned. So Paul said the gospel is for all. The gospel is for all. To the cultured Greek and to the uncultured barbarians, to the wise and to the unwise. So he's indebted to bring the gospel to all those he come in contact with. And we also, as children of God, should know that we shouldn't have a selected few to bring the gospel to, but we should bring the gospel to all those that we come in contact with. So the Lord is calling us to a higher place in him, where we can come to that place of understanding that the gospel message is for all people. Verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. So he was saying, as much as is in him, he's ready. He's ready, willing to preach the gospel to those that are also in Rome. So he was making clear to them of his willingness to come to them, his willingness to come and to preach the good news to them also. But he was hindered. The previous verse tells us that he was hindered. Verse 16, he said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Paul was saying that he was not ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul, who was a persecutor of the church of God before he was enlightened, before he met the risen Savior, he stood up with such boldness and declared that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is the ability of God to save. Only through the good news of salvation can men come to know Jesus Christ. Can people on a whole come to know Jesus Christ. So Paul said, I am not ashamed to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, for it has the ability to save. That's what he's saying. The good news has the ability to save. To all people, salvation is for all people. To everyone that believe. To all the people who will put their trust in Jesus Christ. to the Jews first. Remember, salvation came to the Jews first. The word of God said Jesus came unto his own were the Jewish people. Jesus came through the lineage of the Jewish people. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right or the power to become the children of God. So we see where salvation first came to the Jewish people. But it didn't only come for the Jewish people. Also to the Gentile. Also to the non-Jews. So we are all Gentiles, those who are of us who are not Jews. So the salvation of Jesus Christ has also come to us. So we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel, people of God. We shouldn't be ashamed to declare Jesus wherever we go. Whenever the opportunity arises, let us not be afraid or ashamed to declare Jesus Christ. For his words tells us in Mark 8:38, Jesus said, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm going to be ashamed of you also when I come back, when I come in the glory of my Father and come back with the holy angels, I'm going to be ashamed of you. So people of God, as the opportunity arises, let us speak boldly of Jesus Christ. Let us not be ashamed to declare him. Let us not be ashamed to say that Jesus Christ alone saves. There's salvation in no other name but the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me." People of God, we have to be bold. We have to speak boldly. We have to be assured of our faith in Jesus Christ. So we speak with confidence that there is salvation in no other name but in the name of Jesus Christ. So we want to be like Paul, who spoke boldly and said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." So God is calling us, people of God, to go forth with confidence and declare Jesus wherever he has placed us. Romans chapter 1 verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." So Paul was saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God, is revealed from one level of faith to the next. From one level of faith to the next. It is by grace through faith that we are saved. But as we continue on the Christian pathway, our faith is increased or built up. So Paul was reminding them that as it is written in the Old Testament, in Habakkuk 2 verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. So those that have been justified by faith in Christ Jesus must live by his faith. People of God, we must live by trusting in Jesus. Our daily lives should be a life of complete trust in Jesus Christ. We must live by faith and not by sight. We are saved by faith, but there is more. We have to have faith, knowing that God is with us. Faith enough to know that God is there to keep us. His keeping grace is upon us. We have to have that faith to know that his grace is sufficient for every area of our weakness. So we have to have faith to know that we can now become mature Christians, mature saints, as we continue to build up on our faith. So we have to be diligent, people of God. We have to be diligent and to continue to build up ourselves in our most holy faith. We have to continue to grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Then our faith will be established in Him. Our faith will be rooted and grounded. Our confidence in Christ will remain strong. So it's not just by saving faith, but our faith has to go from level to level. Faith for healing, faith for restoration, faith for growth, faith in every area of our lives. The Word of God tells us that without faith it is impossible to please God. For when we come, we must believe that He is God. He is God. And He rewards those that diligently seek Him. So when our faith is not built up, we come and we're not even sure of our salvation. We're not even sure of where we're going. We're not even sure that our God is able to do it. Because our faith is weak. Our faith has to be built up, people of God. We must believe. God said, when you come to me, you must believe that I'm God. I'm the omnipotent God, the omniscient God, the omnipresent God. I can do all things. So don't doubt me. So our faith has to be built up, people of God. God's faith has to be revealed in us from faith to faith, from level to level. The word says, as it is written, the just, those who are justified by putting our faith in Christ, that saving faith there where we put our faith in Christ and we are justified, we must live by that same faith. Our daily lives must be a life of faith. Trust in God, no matter how it looks. Trust in God when we can't see our way out. Trust in God when we don't understand where to put our feet. Trust in God for direction. He promised in His words that He will show us the path that we ought to take. In His presence, there is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. So if we are walking in His presence, if we are walking by His word, if His word is that lamp to our feet and that light to our path, then we will not be worried on the journey. We will not be wondering what is going to happen next. But we will understand and know that our God has everything covered. He holds everything in His hands. The word tells us that everything consists by Him. Everything is held together by Him. So we want to live a life of faith. We want to continuously place our confidence in our Lord Jesus Christ, in who He is and what He has done for us at the cross. We want to trust Him each day. We want to live a life that honors Him. People of God, if we love Him, if we say we trust Him, then we must live that life that honors Him. We must live a life that brings honor to the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And people of God, this is only possible by staying in submission to the blessed Holy Spirit. Staying in submission to the blessed Holy Spirit who comes to live with us and in us. We must stay in submission to Him and in submission to the Word of God. The Word of God said, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to us. We have to come to that place of understanding what God is saying to us during this season. That we are to come to that place of growth. Our faith has to increase. Our faith has to move from just the level of saving faith to that stature in Christ, that rooted and grounded position in Christ. where nothing shakes us. Nothing will move us because we are trusting in the true and living God. Verse 18 of Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So Paul was saying that the wrath of God is made manifest from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. God is a holy God. God is a just God. He must punish sin, but he's also a God of mercy. Let us not forget that. God is a just God. He must punish sin, but he is also a God of mercy. So if we turn to him with our whole heart, if we repent, turn from our evil ways, then his mercy will be extended towards us. But if we continue in sin, if we continue to break the laws of God, if we continue to walk in unrighteousness and ungodliness, the wrath of God, the word said, will come upon the children of disobedience. So Paul was saying that the wrath of God is made manifest from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness and all the unrighteous behaviors of humanity who suppress the truth so they can continue to live in sin. People of God, is not that people don't know better. They know better, but they suppress the truth. They suppress the truth of God and continue to live in sin. We don't want to hear about God. We don't want anything to do with God to be spoken to us or to be shown to us because we want to suppress the truth and we want to continue to live in sin. That's humanity. That's how. That's their nature. The sin nature. It wants to always suppress the truth so that they can continue living in sin without feeling condemned. But the word of God is telling us the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness. God is a just God. He must punish sin, but he's also a God of mercy. So cry out to him. Cry out to him and ask for forgiveness. Ask the Lord to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness, and he will do that. But don't suppress the truth. Don't suppress the truth. When the truth comes, acknowledge the truth and turn from your evil way. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 1. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. People of God, a part of God is in every human being. It's innate, it's inborn in every human being. According to Genesis 1:26, the word of God tells us that we were all made in his image and his likeness. So there's a part of God in each and every one of us. When sin came into the world, people of God, that sin that Adam passed down to us caused that spirit man to be dead. But the word of God says, God, because of his love and his mercy towards us, has quickened us. He has made us alive so that we can come to that place of knowing him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we can either suppress that part of us or we can allow our spirit man to be awakened to righteousness. The truth of God's word has come to awaken you that are not yet saved. The truth of God's word has come to awaken you to righteousness, so you can come to know and understand that there is a God to be served, a loving Father who is calling you into a relationship with him, a loving Father who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Eternal life is given to all those who will put their trust in Jesus Christ. So it's not for us to suppress the truth, but to come to acknowledge the truth of God's word and to turn to him wholeheartedly. And those who are already saved, the truth is come to keep us on the right path. For God's word is that lamp to our feet and that light to our pathway. The truth has come to keep us walking in holiness, purity of mind, purity of heart, so that we can go forth and show forth the glory of and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to walk and to live and to honor him daily. But we can only do that as we continue to acknowledge his truth. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he prayed for us in John 17, he said, Father, I pray that you don't take them out of this world, but you sanctify them through your word. Your word is truth. So we know that the word of God has come to set us apart. It has come to sanctify us, to make us pure and holy, consecrated unto our Lord. Verse 20 of Romans chapter 1. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The eternal invisible God who created the universe and everything in it, his creative works, people of God, speaks for him. His creation speaks that he is the only true God. His creation speaks that he is the creator of this universe. So his creative work speaks for him. When we go and we look on all of what God has created, we know that there is a God. Every individual knows. Every individual knows. So Paul was saying that mankind is without excuse when they turn to idolatry, when they turn to other gods, and when they turn and say that there is no God. So all those that are saying they're practicing atheism, they know. Every human being knows that there is a God, because a part of God is in each and every one of us. And there's always a void in the hearts of humanity until they come back into a relationship with God the Father. So God is calling each and every one of us, stop suppressing the truth and come to Jesus. Come to him who is the only one that can save us. We can be saved by no other name but the name of Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. So we now, as we hear the word of God, we have the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Yes to Jesus. And I pray today that someone in the sound of my voice will say yes to Jesus. Yes, here I am, Lord. Save me. God bless you this evening. We'll stop here. And next week we'll continue in Romans chapter 1. God bless you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for your word to us. We thank you, O God, that your word is bringing change in our hearts. And we pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that your word will continue to enlighten us, O God, and we will purpose in our hearts, O God, to live by your word. We pray, O God Almighty, for this revival that is coming, a revival, O God, that will bring us back to your word, back to, O God, to eating of your word and living by your word. We thank you again for all that you have done and all that you're doing. We thank you for those that have listened this evening, and we pray that your word will continue to illuminate their lives as we pray and give thanks in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend. Bless the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.